Good evening and welcome to Secret Passages on KNBC 95.1 FM. My name is Renee Marie.
And I'm Carrie Hampton, the voice of Issy Braddock.
And today we are joined by Nicole Shader and Caleb Mertz-Vega, who play Liz and Ray on the show. Welcome.
Hi. Hi.
Wow, that was so synchronized.
That was good. Yeah.
Well, once you've been together for as long as we have.
We kind of think the same.
In episode 9, Ray, as narrator, talked about the importance of making adjustments in relationships. We hear Liz, as the narrator in episode 10, talk about this central idea of searching for and finding connections. When it comes to Heritage House, however, all the adjustments and connections that are made appear to be calculated and created by Aunt Sandra. Meanwhile, Issy is hoping that the seance with Roxy will provide clarity and reassurance that she isn't crazy and that the ghosts in Heritage House are real. Or as real as ghosts can be. Nicole, Caleb, we get sort of a cliffhanger at the end when your characters miss a chance to expose their big secret to Drew. Do you think Liz and Ray will follow Drew back to Nevada?
I mean, I imagine we have to. It seems like we love him and we, regardless of motives, we obviously care about him and want to keep him safe. So I would think we would have to go after him.
It's our Drew.
Yeah. I'm worried, though, because I feel like then you'll be in danger, too.
I definitely feel like that's probably an issue. We've talked about before that the Heritage House is a dangerous place.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and above all, I mean, I think as Ray, I can sense this kind of draw, this magnetic almost field that's pulling everybody back. And knowing that Liz is, you know, we got to talk to Drew about Liz. I think I'm a little more worried about Liz too and what that might mean for her. And maybe having to keep an eye open when I sleep at night in case that she tries to leave in the middle of the night again.
That's the problem with two partners. You got to keep one eye on each. You have both eyes open and you never sleep.
No sleep. Very tough.
Now we're going to do the most important question of the interview. My favorite question, which is, what kind of ghost would you be?
I feel like I would just cause untold chaos, but just in an annoying way. That's kind of what I do as a human.
Wow. I mean, that makes me think of Butters in South Park as Professor Chaos.
Exactly. It's like I have very evil intentions, but what comes out is just, I'm Professor Chaos.
Oh, come on, guys.
Oh, okay. But can you do Cartman?
No, I'm not very good at that one.
My most embarrassing parenting moment is the fact that my 11-year-old daughter, who has never seen South Park, can do a dead-on Cartman impression because of me. Like, it's not her. It's just I walk around the house going, yeah, kitty, this is my papa.
That's really good, though. It's really good.
I am not a voice actor at all.
You are now, Nicole. You are
now. I just really like cartoons.
I don't think we heard what kind of ghost Caleb would be.
I don't know. I'd probably be one of those, like, just nosy ones, you know, always want to know what's going on. I'm like that as a neighbor now. Like, I make fun of myself sometimes. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm turning into my mom. Because it's like I'll see somebody, like, rooting around the garbage, and I'll be like, well, what are they doing? What are they getting out of there? What's in his hand?
I'm picturing full on like a Rear Window situation, and you're going to see a neighbor with just a rolled up rug someday.
Yeah, I mean, you never know, you know?
So this is a question for both Caleb and Nicole. So whoever wants to answer first, how did you each get involved with the show?
The way I got involved was I have been doing voice acting for a little while. And so I have a Google alert set up for, what is it, voice actor needed. So the one night, the Google alert went off, which usually I don't pay too much attention to anymore. But this time I checked it and it was actually, oh yeah, voice actor needed. So I clicked on the page and there was one opening left. So I clicked on it and I was like, yeah, I have no idea what this is about. So I'm like Googling like Secrets of Heritage House and nothing's coming up. I'm like, is there like a book, anything? So I was like, okay, I'm going into this completely blind. Sounds cool. I like it. And then when we got the sides, I was really excited to get a chance to read it. And so happy that I was able to actually become a part of it. But that's pretty much how I got a, that's how I got involved.
Wow. So that you're saying there was one audition slot left?
Yes.
Nicole, what's your story?
Mine's way more boring. I do theater around the area, and of course 2020 happened, and I saw through one of my mutual theater friends this audition notice, and I thought, I could probably do that. That's acting without pants on. That sounds ideal to me. So I auditioned, and here I go.
Have either of you done voice acting before? This time, Nicole, you can go first.
No, never. This is actually the first time I've done anything like this.
Caleb, what about you?
Yeah, I have. Yeah, done some commercials, done some video games.
Ooh, what video games? Can I ask that?
Yeah.
Tell us about both of them, commercials and video games.
Well, the first video game that I was in, I played three characters, all three Russian. Or no, one was a Navy SEAL. One was a bad guy, and then a doctor. And yeah, unfortunately, it was not the best production value, shall I say. but I did get IMDb credit, so I'm happy with that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yay! Yeah.
And then, yeah, I've just been doing like different... I'm the voice now for Curious Muse YouTube channel. And then
what
I also...
What is that?
It's just it's one of those, like, you know, five crazy things you didn't know about coffee kind of things.
Oh, yeah, one of those guys. I'm going to go watch these. Caleb, since you have experience in this field and I do not, I'm wondering if you have any performance tips.
Ooh, yeah. There's a good amount. But I think the biggest piece of advice I would have for anybody that's looking at getting into voiceover is when you're recording, you have to use your imagination because you always have to have somebody that you're talking to. So whenever I'm playing Ray, I'm always picturing somebody that is actually close to me that I know, even though it's supposed to be Liz or anybody. So I always have somebody there that I can actually talk to in my head. It takes some practice because at first it kind of feels weird because that person isn't there. And you don't always usually get the actual essence of what it would sound like until you do this weird thing and ask somebody for permission to record yourselves having a conversation. And then you can listen back to that and be like, oh, okay, so that's how I would say it in a normal conversation. Why did I say it like all announcery in this part?
Caleb, for listeners at home, can you describe where you record, please?
Sure. I record in a 4-foot by 4-foot room, and I built it myself at the beginning of COVID, because I was sick and tired of using like my closet where too much noise was coming through, and it was just tough. And my partner plays a piano and sings, and you know, it's a little hard to record over that. So I built as close as I could to the soundproof room as I possibly could with my own two hands. And I love it. And it's blue and black, two of my favorite colors.
Nicole, while I haven't worked much with you yet, I have seen your pets. Do they tune into the show?
Oh, God, no. They don't tune into anything we say. They're cats.
What about your human pets? What about your children? Do your children, anyone in your family listen to the show?
You know, my parents do. I'm debating. My daughter's 11 and she absolutely loves helping me with pretty much anything theater. When I finally got back into it, I used to do it before I had her. And then once she was, you know, about 10, I thought, she's halfway done. I can get back to doing my own thing. And she's been such a solid little helper. She runs lines with me. She gives me direction. Jeff Bossa could tell you she was telling him how to direct. so she, but I haven't had her listen to this one yet because I keep worrying that it's going to get like too spooky, that it's going to hit a thing and then she's going to not like it. But I think I'm going to make her marathon it once I figure out, okay, it's safe for her to listen to.
Once you vet the whole thing. Yeah. Well, that's very thoughtful.
Because I can't have her go halfway through and then go, oh, it's too spooky. I guess you're going to have to never find out what happens.
And she'll be sitting in therapy again going, and then.
Yeah, that's fair.
I know I'm a monster of a parent, but like I'm not that monstrous.
Mm-hmm. Nicole and Caleb, what has made this episode different from the rest so far for you?
For me, what I like about this one is I feel like a new side of Ray is finally able to kind of come through. You know, in the past, we've always gotten the side of Ray, you know, the kind of funny, flirty, you know, turn that frowny upside downy Ray. And then this time between him and Liz, I think you get a little bit more of like the serious side. And it what I really like about it is it kind of adds that complexity to the character that I think has been coming for Ray for a while now. So I really like that about this one.
Yeah.
I feel similarly with Liz, where it feels like we've gotten into the characters, but this is the first time we're kind of peeling back the layer and going, no, these two are much more involved than just people that love Drew and Drew's partners, that they have a whole other side to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we have some questions from listeners.
This question is from Leslie in Omaha, Nebraska. It's been clear since episode one that Liz and Ray know more than they're letting on. Do Nicole and Caleb know what their characters' secrets are? Have the writers and producers discussed their story with them? If so, any hints?
I can tell you of 100% honesty that I have no idea what is going on. I know I have a secret. That's it. Caleb, do you know any more? Do you know better? Do you know my secrets?
I know nothing.
Yeah, we got nothing. I keep fantasizing about what it's going to be. And I think that helps. I think imagining like, oh, what if I'm the architect behind this giant thing that's happening allows me to treat the secret like it has that gravitas. So if it turns out like, oh, my name is Elizabeth, like then I will still have acted as though I've done this great evil thing.
Yeah, I think it's just like staying true to the script, I guess. I mean, as listeners, they don't know. And I think as Ray and Liz, we have to do our best to keep it secret from Drew. So, I mean, it's the only secret that we have with Drew. Sorry, Drew, if you're listening.
We love you, though.
Our second question is from Marisol in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Liz and Ray are always ordering food. Do they ever cook? If so, who do they each think would be the better cook?
Not Drew. That's for certain.
Mm-mm. Oh, he's not a very good cook?
Mm-mm. In this episode, when he suggested that he cook, Ray's response was to laugh. So I imagine that means please don't.
Let's put it to you this way. When he tries to make bang bang cucumber, it's not bang bang cucumber. Oh.
Sad, sad pickled zucchini.
I feel bad for the guy, you know? I love him. He's so cute. God.
It just absolutely darling.
But he can't cook. He's good at everything else. He'll save your life in a second.
Exactly.
But he will not save a salad.
No.
For Drew.
This question is from Rhea in Wingham, Kent, England. Drew is an EMT, but what do Liz and Ray do for work? Is this something that will be revealed in another episode? If not, do the actors have any speculations?
I have no idea what Liz does, but I've always pictured her going to an office and coming home at 5 o'clock and having a glass of wine. And then on Fridays, going out for cocktails with her friends. I feel like she's got some very basic job.
And watching The Bachelor with her wine on Thursdays or whatever.
Yes, 100%. I just picture the three of us smushed on a couch, drinking wine, eating cheese and crackers, and watching The Bachelorette in Paradise.
I don't know. I always think like I'm like an activist. I'm a I go out and I work with the polyamorous, poly awareness. You know, trying to get the word out there that you know, we're not freaks. We're like everybody else. So I could see myself as Ray partaking and very active in the social situation, especially because I feel like he really does care. You know, I feel like there's this his backbone is that he genuinely cares about the people that are around him. And so, yeah, I could see that as his kind of go-to. I could also see like an alternate universe where like I turn out and like just kill Liz and then like
I wouldn't blame you, honestly. She's a little bit snippy towards you a bunch.
I'm trying to escape with Drew.
Every time we talk to Drew on the phone, we're like, we're gonna kill each other, Drew. When are you coming home? Liz definitely feels like a character that I could be in all reality, where it's just I feel like she's very in the moment and she is very outspoken and very open and loving, but also, you know, as evidenced by this, where she says, I'm not going to let anyone mess with the people that I'm connected with.
Mm-hmm. Nicole and Caleb, thank you so much for talking with us tonight.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
If you have questions or comments about the show, email production@secretsofheritagehouse.com, or you can message us at facebook.com/heritagehouse or DM us on Instagram @secretsofheritagehouse. And as a reminder, we are available as a podcast.
You can re-listen to Secrets of Heritage House on Sunday at 9 p.m. Pacific Time on KNBC 95.1 FM, or stream it live from your computer or smartphone at knbc.org. And we're back next week with a juicy episode 11. Stay tuned.